Kempire is brought to you by...
Thank you, Philly, for a fantastic show at City Winery. Shout out to City Winery in Philadelphia. You guys were amazing behind the scenes, during the show, production, the food, everything was amazing. But don't forget, guys, I'm coming to City Winery in Boston on May 30th. Don't wait till the last minute to get your tickets. Start planning your trip to Boston. If you don't live in Boston, you want to come see our Kempire After Dark live show. We will then be in Nashville on July 11th, Atlanta the next day on July 12th. We will also be in Seattle for a special live show coming there on August 30th. And I know you all have been asking, when are you coming to my city? We are working on more cities. Stay tuned. Make sure you're following us on all socials so you don't miss out on any of the dates, our new dates for the Kempire After Dark live show. Thanks so much for everyone that's seen the show, supported, and is spreading the word. I love meeting all of you.
You're listening to Kempire on the Kempire Radio Network.
Bum, 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 bum. I know it's late, but so is Bravo when it comes to letting us know when the Real Housewives of Miami final part of the reunion was going to even air. It didn't even air on the Wednesday night that we had gotten used to. It aired on Thursday night, the final part for those that may have missed it. Some of you said that you completely had no idea until we did our part two recap of the Real Housewives of Miami reunion that it aired the next day after part one. And some of you also told me that Bravo did announce it on their socials about this new schedule. Apparently, the word did not get out. You probably should have told the Housewives to make announcements. I don't know. Maybe they did. But apparently, a lot of people didn't know. Thankfully, you guys let me know, and that's why we recapped it already. So if you missed any of our reunion recaps for the Real Housewives of Miami, be sure to check those out. This is the final part. We bid adieu to our ladies over in Miami, and I have a lot of thoughts because the way that this one ended, I said, what the? I was not prepared for that because if you watched our recaps this season, I told you how much I hated Sorry to those that are listening to this on the podcast. I was like, at first I was like, oh, you're going to bring out this man. He has a beautiful voice. I thought maybe they were going to sequence into some of the highs and lows of the season. No, Julia grabs a mic from behind the couch to go. And then all of a sudden they get into the dance mix. So I guess she has a dance song. I can tell you, season 7, we're going to see the downfall of Adriana and Julia's relationship. Now they're competing in the music situation. Adriana, with her shady comments, well, it's a nice hobby for Julia. Well, Julia's about to come take your throne and be friends with Alexia. Anyways, let's get into the recap of the final part, the final episode of a very fantastic season for the Real Housewives of Miami. Welcome back to the Kempire Channel, your number one source for pop culture news and music, entertainment, reality TV, and so much more. As always, be sure to like the video, be sure to share the video, be sure to subscribe, and don't forget to subscribe to the audio version of our live recaps, and you get special episodes on the Kempire podcast. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. So yesterday, we did a recap of the Traitors finale and reunion. So if you missed it, we haven't done a single live just for that. We have been recapping it over the last few weeks on our Tuesday takeover. So be sure to check that out if you missed it. I prioritized that recap over our Real Housewives of Miami recap because look, we prioritized it before. Okay. So Real Housewives of Miami, how would you guys rate it from 1 to 10? How would you rate this particular part of the reunion? How would you rate the season overall? I would give the season a 10 overall. I thought it was a stellar season. Overall, on average, I felt like it was a stellar season. Mm-hmm. This particular episode, part three, I felt like as I was looking, it looks like they were winding down. And then it was like, wait, oh, we're not done yet? We have how many more minutes? So it feels like this reunion probably could have been summed up in two parts as opposed to three. But I'm going to give them three parts because unlike some of these other Housewives cities that have gotten three parts and they had nothing during the season, I'm going to give it to Miami. Y'all can have a lackluster part three. Well, part three, they already start off with Gertie versus Larsa. Well, they ended part two that way. And look, we haven't really seen Gertie activated in this way before. her talking about, let's see the before and after pictures of Larsa. I was like, whoa. Her calling Lisa a mascot. I was like, whoa. Even Kiki and Marisol, they were like, oh my God, what is happening right now? Lisa did not like that. But Lisa, I get what Gertie was saying. It feels like you could not see Gertie's side of things. But I'm not surprised because of your behavior this season towards Kiki. So I'm not completely surprised. And Gertie was hot. Gertie said to Lisa, that same anger you have towards me, you need to have for Lenny. Oh! But at the top of this episode, Gertie tells Larsa that she made it this journey, this cancer situation, a lot harder for her. And then Larsa tried to downplay it and then make it about her. She said, you made it harder for me to be your friend.
The lies.
I honestly don't think that Larsa really gets it. And I don't think even by the end of this reunion, I don't think she gets it. But you know what I do get? No possible great transition. I get the fact, I've been telling you guys, I've been focused on my physical health, my mental health. I am bringing you all kinds of things that I am trying out. And one of the things that I have to try out is a meal situation that makes it easy for me. So we are partnering with Factor to bring you something that I hope makes your life easier as well. All right. So eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Because you already know, it's not that I don't like to cook. I like, especially because of how busy I can be, especially if we're having like a late night live, like yesterday, we had our traders alive in the evening. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I literally was traveling that day from Philly back home. This, you just, it's ready to go. So it's every fresh, never frozen meals. It's chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. Pop it in the microwave and you're good to go. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every single week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. All right, so you have options. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. All right, so you can get started today and get after your goals. As I mentioned to you guys before, two-minute meals. They have pancakes, I like a smoothie. You know I like a smoothie. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. No prep. Best for me. No mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat. So there's no prepping or cooking or cleanup. Even better. Even better. Flexible for your schedule. Get as much as or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries at any time. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. This is like a dream come true for me. Just say, sign up and save. Factor has done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. That rhymes. Head to factormeals.com/Kempire50 and use the code Kempire50 to get 50% off. That's code Kempire50 at factormeals.com/Kempire50 to get 50% off. More information will be available in the description of this video, or if you're listening to this, in the description notes of the podcast. Thank you to Factor for partnering with us. I can't wait to try this. As I told you guys before, I need easy, simple, but at the same time, I don't want it to be not nutritious. There's lots of easy fast food options out there, but you need something quick and easy that's good for you. Okay? You can trust that. So thank you to Factor. Again, guys, more information is available in the description. Back to the Real Housewives of Miami. So Real Housewives of Miami, we have this back and forth between Gertie and Larsa, and then it becomes a back and forth between Gertie and Lisa. Gertie calls Lisa a mascot. Lisa's like, I don't just ride for Larsa like that. Alexia tries to speak up for Gertie, and then Larsa tries to shut Alexia down. She's like, you stay out of this. But Gertie says, no, all of you need to chime in. All of you need to say something because all of you have been quiet this entire season. Gertie, how you been watching our recaps? But it's true. A lot of people had stood up and were supportive of Lisa throughout the last couple of seasons, but they didn't do the same for Gertie. And here's the thing, Larsa. You keep saying that you didn't have malicious intent. Okay. All right, Sandoval. If you watched our Vanderpump Rules recaps. She keeps saying that she didn't have malicious intent. That's not what she meant. I don't believe you. I don't believe that you misunderstood Gertie in regards to keep this in confidence. She says last episode, I thought you meant off of social media. Why would you think that it would be okay? Like, I'm trying to think, like, Larsa, what's wrong with you up here? Why would you think it's okay? If she had just said it to Gertie's friends, like Marisol and Lisa, then I might be like, okay, I can see where you might have made a mistake, but still, apologize. No, homegirl goes and tells her own friends first. So I wouldn't be surprised if you would have went to social media and said something or said it in a podcast. Something's not right with you. Something's not right with you. Anyways, so Alexia tries to speak up. Marcus is backstage saying, oh, I wish I could go out there so you can have some more camera time. He was so obnoxious and annoying. I still don't believe this relationship. I talked about what they said on the Traitors reunion about their unfollowing of each other and that little breakup. Like, oh, we know we're figuring it out now. Oh, my God. They are so annoying. Honestly, I don't care if she comes back next season, but I also don't really want to see her next season, especially if she's going to bring Marcus. Because Marcus, in the comments that he was making throughout the reunion, I was like, oh, this is why you guys are together, or at least in cahoots together. You're both annoying and just so surface level. Ugh. Like, I'm literally, like, disgusted. I'm sorry, y'all. Anyways, so Gertie says that Larsa needs to show in order for them to move on. Gertie's not just ready to be like, oh, we can move on. And I know some of you might be like, Gertie, come on. No, we have to remember Gertie tried to move forward despite Larsa doing some of the things that she did throughout the season. Go back and watch the season. Gertie tried to have a good time with her in Mexico. She actually thought they were in a better place, only to find out that Larsa's doing interviews and still talking about this. And Gertie feels blindsided by her commentary and her confessionals. I think that's part of the reason why she's sort of like, okay, we can possibly move forward, but I need you to show me that you're going to be my friend. All right. Let's talk about Kiki. So Kiki's in a new relationship. And apparently Marisol hooked her up with a matchmaker and found her this new guy. And apparently it's going well. So this is what I love about Miami. And I don't know if I need you guys to do this in the other cities, especially if the Friend Doves don't really have much going on. But I love that the Friend Doves aren't treated the same like we see in other cities. We're getting full segments about what's going on with them. So we learn a little bit more about Kiki's current new relationship. But then she talks about that whole story that she told during the season about being sort of disowned by her family because she got into the world of swimsuit modeling and things like that. So they sort of jumped to the conclusion within their culture that it's something more salacious than it actually is. And more so, it was her stepmom that was trying to prevent her siblings from being connected to her. But she says slowly but surely she's getting connected with some of her siblings. This is where we find out that Kiki brought her mom here back in 2012, and she takes care of her mom. So she's not only taking care of her kids and herself, she's also taking care of her mom. So she's trying to explain what happened between her mom and her dad. Gertie, this is where you annoyed the hell out of me, because it became Gertie, she's trying to tell her story. This is her segment, and I get it. You know, you understand Haitian culture because you're part of it. However, this is her moment. Allow Kiki to explain. And then once Kiki's done, you can chime in. Please understand, this happens in our culture. I felt like there were certain moments, Gertie, that you're doing too much. You were interrupting too much. I didn't like it, especially in this part, because I'm like, I want to hear Kiki's story. So many people want to hear Kiki's story. But we hear Gertie like, oh, yeah, that happens a lot in our culture. Okay, we get it. You can relate. But let Kiki speak. Like, because I feel like sometimes it can get lost. First of all, Kiki's trying to explain herself, and I think Kiki sometimes has a hard time doing that. So I want her to at least have that moment to explain what happened, because I feel like things kind of get lost when you have Gertie chiming in. Well, that happens a lot in our culture. So what we learned was that her father left her mom, came to the States, started building a new life, and got a new wife, and basically was like, goodbye. And Gertie's chiming in like, yeah, that happens a lot. Well, that happens a lot. Caribbean men. Okay, Caribbean men. All right. But she gets really emotional talking about her dynamic in the group. And we understand that Kiki doesn't have the same life as these other women. And we talked about it during the season when she had her event. You know, they had swim week and she was going to throw a party. Again, a lot of times what these housewives are fighting over has nothing to do with what they're talking about. It's more so about the show. And I truly believe Kiki was hurt because she knew that if these housewives did not come to this party, it probably is not going to be featured on the show, which it really wasn't. And everybody in that moment when Andy brings it up are like, oh, well, you know, I had this happen. You know, I was sick or this or that and blah, blah, blah. The only person that had a real excuse, to my knowledge, was Gertie. And she's going through cancer. She's going through cancer treatments. So for me, Gertie was the only one with a legitimate excuse. But Kiki gets really emotional. And again, Gertie, be quiet. Gertie's like, oh my gosh. Like, I don't know if anyone else feels the way that I do about this particular part three. I was like, Gertie, stop. You're doing too much right now. I know you're sitting next to Andy. And you feel like maybe you got to do these theatrics. But stop. And poor Kiki is having this real emotional reaction to probably not feeling like she fits in. And I'm sure that's triggering from maybe when she first moved to this country and maybe there were other elements. Also, she's from the modeling world. We only got a glimpse of the modeling world through America's Next Top Model. It's 10 times worse behind the scenes, the things that the girls do to each other or what the people say to them. So I'm sure, and probably still the same now. So a lot of this mean girl behavior, what we're seeing with the cast, where the cast, like Lisa, feels like she's better than other people, is probably, not probably, it's triggering to her. So she gets very emotional where she can't speak in this moment. So we get some updates. We get some updates in regards to what's going on with Dr. Nicole in her home. Apparently, they should be moving in April. She's delivering a Taurus baby. I hope she makes it to April 23rd. April 23rd, she's supposed to deliver her baby, which will make her baby a Taurus, even though I prefer May Tauruses. Sorry, April Taurus. Just saying. They have not bought a new boat because they don't have their new house. Where are you going to put a new boat if you don't have a house? Just saying. So then they start talking about Larsa's daughter who gets like $2,500 a month. We learned that during the season. Remember, the other Nepo baby, Marcus, was telling her how to spend it. So Larsa wants to make excuses. Well, you know, she makes her own money. She, you know, it's expensive where she lives. She goes, here's the thing. Like we said with Lil' Kev, Wendy Williams' son. When they brought up the $2,500 a month, I was like, okay, I don't know that life. I didn't grow up that way, but she has two rich parents. Okay, homegirl, Sophia does not seem like she's a brat. Honestly, Marcus seems more like a brat than anybody, and he's big grown. You know what I mean? So God only knows how he was at her age. So I don't think it's a big deal that she has that money. I hope that for anything that she's taking some of that money and putting in her FU fund for when she's got to say FU to Larsa. Just saying, Sophia. Not to say that you should say FU to your mother. But you know what I'm saying. Like, you need to have your own. Put some money to the side. Because for all you know, Larsa could be evil one day and be like, you're not getting anything, you brat. You'd be like, you know what? I got a FU fund right over here. Just say. Larsa and Gertie get into it again we're about to go into commercial. Marcus, of course, wants to be on camera, comes out, and he's hugging Larsa. And he's like, you are the queen. Don't come off your throne. I'm like, get the out of here. He is so, like, I thought Larsa was annoying. Honestly, Marcus is more annoying than Larsa. More annoying. Because we see a completely different side of Marcus at this reunion. I believe that this is the real Marcus. This is the real Marcus that we're seeing at this reunion. Just like it, like cringy. Cringy's like spoiled brat behavior. And look, there are a lot of people in this industry that appear one way to the world and are like Marcus behind the scenes, if not worse. Sometimes a lot worse. Just saying. I hear things. People talk. People talk. So when you wonder why certain people's career are not where you think that they should be, it's because, well, there are a variety of reasons. They're the Christian Keys, where they're not willing to sell their soul. There are those. And there are those that are terrible behind the scenes, that burn bridges, that are brats, that are divas. And that's why they don't have the career that you think that they should have. And I sip. And I sip. Julia and her expensive jam. Here's the thing. If I didn't taste Julia's jam at BravoCon. Oh, I'm wearing my BravoCon t-shirt for those that are watching the video version of this. If I didn't taste her jam at the Bravo, I would pay $50 for her jam. I mean, depending on the size of the bottle, because I don't remember if it was like a small thing. I can't remember. I would pay, I don't know about $50. Maybe I would. It was good. I'm not lying to you guys. I wouldn't lie to you. If it was disgusting, I would tell you. I would tell you. It was so tasty. I was like, oh. I've been telling you that I tasted it at BravoCon, and I've still been meaning to get some. I don't see it on her Instagram or anything like that. So I don't know how you get it. I don't know if it's available. I should have bought it at BravoCon. I was like, this is delicious. Anyways, so they talk about that for Julia, about her expensive jam. Adriana talks about Julia singing. She's like, oh, it's a hot. She was kind of shady about Julia singing. But I honestly don't think that Julia was taking singing seriously at this point. Only for Julia to end the reunion by singing this sort of dance version of Ave Maria. And then I'm thinking to myself, ooh, it was kind of interesting how Adriana was sort of like downplaying Julia's singing. All right. Then they talk about Julia feeling in the middle between Adriana and Alexia. Julia says she doesn't feel like she's in the middle. She's friends with Adriana. She's developing a friendship with Alexia. This all started because Alexia came to her room last year at the reunion and they've been working on their friendship. Do I feel like it was strategic of Alexia? I believe in a sense. In a sense, I do believe that it was strategic. But do I think that she genuinely finds Julia funny and interesting? Yeah. But I do think that it was strategic as well. Yeah, I definitely think it was strategic on some level. I don't know if that was the sole reason, but I definitely think that it was strategic. Adriana believes that Julia was, she didn't say Julia, she was using an analogy. But basically she was saying that Julia is the gullible one. And these women were going to take advantage of that, her being the newbie. And then, of course, we have this little back and forth between Adriana, Alexia, and Marisol. All right. Larsa and Lisa on Watch What Happens Live said that they don't believe that Julia and Alexia's friendship will last. All right. We do find out in this particular part of the Real Housewives of Miami reunion that Julia and Martina are going to, now that that Martina's out of the whole cancer situation right now, they're going to definitely try and adopt. They've even enlisted another agency to kind of speed up the process. I don't know. How do you guys feel about this? Like, how old is Martina? Julia's what, in her 50s? I don't know. I mean, I guess if Robert De Niro and them can have babies at 80, I'm just saying, like, unless you're going to adopt an older kid. I don't know. I just feel like, I know for me, 50, 60 years, I'm not trying to raise no child. But look, I think Julia is probably a fantastic mom, though. And I get it. Julia wants to sort of make up for what happened with Max. So I'm like, okay, all right. Okay, look, okay. So Alexia and Larsa, their friendship definitely was tested at this reunion because they start talking about Larsa's tequila and the comments that Alexia made about Larsa's tequila. Because she's like, I didn't know about this tequila. And according to Larsa, I've been working on this for a very long time. Marisol knew I was working on this. A bunch of people knew. Okay. All right. But then Gertie decides to point out, every time we're going to your place for some event, you're pushing some sort of product. It's dog collars. It's this. It's jewelry. It's tequila. I mean, a lot of them probably feel that way. Larsa doesn't see any problem with it. I'm giving these things to you for free. Again, though, Larsa, you're doing this on a television show, which is promoting it. So part of them feel... Here's the thing, though. I mean, I'm sure some of them do influencing on socials along with all the, you know, their regular work. So they probably feel like she's using them and this platform to promote their stuff, her stuff. So they're, again, they're not talking about what's obvious that's happening between them. They don't want to talk about, well, if I wear your thing or if I sip your thing, it's sort of like I'm promoting it on this show. It's like a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. I have to say, I do like her tequila bottle. That's the thing about me. I don't like to drink, but I really love the bottles. Like the alcohol bottles are like pieces of art. Like I like her bottle. I was like, that looks like a vase. Of course, Andy and his sophomore self, it looks like a vagina. Okay, what vagina have you seen? Well, you know, that new lawsuit. Okay. Anyways, guys, if you're just joining us, be sure to like the video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels as well. And if you're listening to this and you haven't given us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, be sure to do that as well. Shout out to our channel members. We appreciate your monthly support. Shout out to our subscribers for liking, subscribing, sharing, all that stuff. And of course, thank you to our King's Guards for holding us down in the live chat and in the comment section. Guys, don't forget, we had a fantastic show in Philadelphia just a couple of days ago at this point. Time is just flying. We had a fantastic time. It was great meeting everyone in Philadelphia. It was great actually seeing Philadelphia for the very first time. Loved that. And shout out to City Winery in Philadelphia. That was a really great experience. Just great staff, great production. Loved it. We are coming back to City Winery, but we're going to Boston. We'll be at City Winery in Boston on May 30th. We'll be in City Winery in Nashville on July 11th, then Atlanta on July 12th. Tickets are now available. And Seattle, we're coming to Seattle on August 30th. That should be really cool to kind of to be in Seattle. I'm going to spend a couple of days in Seattle to kind of, you know, see it, see the sights. Look, see the sights. So be sure to get your tickets. Don't wait. Head on over to the description for more details for our Kempire After Dark live show. Right? In Seattle, we're going to do something different in Seattle. So get your tickets. Get your tickets. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. So Alexia and Larsa get into it. Larsa, then it gets into this whole conversation about, you know, Larsa keeps making comments that Alexia is taken care of by Todd and she was taken care of by her previous husband. And she's like, I've been on my own. And she's like, Scotty wasn't taking care of me for 6 years. Okay. Larsa likes to give you a little bit of truth with a whole lot of lie. and I'm not even sure if there's even a little bit of truth here. She could be just lying. She's saying for 6 years, Scotty wasn't supporting her. Remember, those 6 years, she was still living with Scotty. You weren't paying rent. What were you paying for? Food? I'm sure he was paying for that too. Maybe your trips, maybe your whatever you wanted to, maybe your surgeries and things like that. I'm sure you had an allowance. I'm sure you had savings from over the years from him. And I'm not sure if I really believe that you didn't get anything during that time. But you definitely got something after the divorce. And you're going to be getting, what, half of his retirement package or something like that from the Chicago Bulls? You're fine. And I think this is part of the reason why your friends are just sort of like, why do you keep coming for our relationships as if you created this wealth on your own? You were a taken care of woman as well. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have been. You should be. You were the wife. You were the mother, of course. But don't sit here and make it seem like that's not what's happening with you and versus your friends. But all right. All right, so let's talk about the gondola ride from hell, because this is where Lisa Hochstein and Kiki really get into it. Lisa says, "I signed the most important document of my life, and that's going to affect my life in the future." She's so dramatic. And I get it. It's true. We know. We were so sympathetic towards you, Lisa, when this divorce was happening. You became so insufferable this last season. And I love the fact that Andy pointed out your microaggressions towards Kiki on that gondola ride. And Kiki points out she felt like the way that Lisa spoke to her was very different than the way that Lisa speaks to the other women. Kiki feels as if Lisa looks down on her. And we've been talking about this. I was just pointing this out during the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap because of the way that Dorit speaks to, to Garcelle. And here's the thing. We've been talking about unconscious bias. We all have some unconscious bias, some more than others. And you really do earn that title this season, Lisa, of being a Karen. All right. So Kiki really gets heated with Lisa and what happened on that gondola ride. And Lisa says now she looks back on it. It was wrong for her to feed the dog. It wasn't wrong for you to feed the dogs. What was wrong was you making it seem as if I did nothing wrong. That's probably the best meal that they've ever had. That part was wrong. It wasn't wrong for you feeding the dogs. You thought you were doing something good in the moment. Fine. We told you not to do it. It was what happened afterwards. And then when Kiki later on opens up about her trauma, you make a comment about, I forgot her specific statement, but downplaying and saying, I can't fix your childhood trauma. Like, very disrespectful. Very disrespectful. And then when Kiki talks about wanting to be more a part of this group and have the kids and things like that interact. And at one point, I can't remember the specifics because I can't remember every single detail of this reunion, because especially the reunion, because there's so many different ways that they go. You see Lisa go, send a kiss to Kiki. And I'm like, get away from us. Like, I look at you so differently, Lisa. I look at you so different. And I was talking about this in Philly as well in regards to Lisa and, you know, her mom and aunt being not in her life these last few years because of her relationship with Lenny. I look at you more so, Lisa, with the side eye. I think you chose a lifestyle over your family. I really do. Hopefully you won't do that again, but I think that you will, because you are choosing a lifestyle over paying for a place that you can really afford on your own. That's my opinion. But who cares? You know, you don't care about my opinion. I mean, my audience does. Hey, audience. Hey, audience. Anyways, Adriana, we get some updates. Because at this point in the reunion, I'm thinking, are we done? Because they're rounding out the reunion. And I'm like, looking at the time, and I'm like, it looks like we have a lot more to go. So apparently, Adriana's kicking off a tour next year. Nicole is looking forward to having a baby girl and dressing up a baby girl. She's excited about that. Lisa says that she feels like her anger is behind her in regards to the Lenny situation. I mean, since then, we've seen a lot of back and forth between her and Lenny on socials. But hopefully it is behind her because they have two little kids. Julia still does it. This was such a weird turn, Julia. And I don't know why you said it. It was weird. Here's the thing. I just didn't understand why Julia, in this particular moment, where as we're reflecting and trying to round out the reunion, she said, I still don't believe that Larsa's butt is real. Wait. I don't know. I felt like it was like a sniper from the side. I felt like it was unnecessary. It was like a dig that wasn't needed in that moment as we're rounding out the reunion. And it makes me wonder if the producers edited this particular part and put it in. I don't trust reality television producers because they can do that. We've seen them take audio of a situation and copy paste it together. Allegedly, we'll say. Just saying. I've heard from people that in their contracts, they have no control over if they were to, you know, copy paste audio from a whole other thing to something else. So or Julia was having another Julia moment in regards to this random comment about Larsa's butt. Look, we know Larsa's butt is fake, but to bring it up in this particular moment was weird. And we already know, I've told you guys this maybe last season, maybe the previous season. Larsa, when she's offended by something you said, she goes to the pits of hell. You could say, Larsa, I don't like that lipstick on you. And she's like, well, I heard your mother wanted to give you up when you were a child. I'm using it as an example. You say, Larsa, I don't like that dress on you. Well, I heard your man is cheating on you with his sister, with your sister. What?
Lies. The lies.
You know what I mean? Like, this is where she goes. Larsa, you could be like, Larsa, you know what? You haven't been a good friend to me. Well, your mother so told me that you have never been a good friend to anyone. Okay, that might be a little bit nicer. But it's like she goes to the pits of hell. So here with Julia, when Julia makes a comment about her butt, she goes to a whole other place. Because you would think that she would talk about something. I mean, I guess she can't with Julia. In regards to like a physical thing. So she was just like, well, I heard you like black penises. See, if this was Campfire After Dark, I'd just say it. I mean, I guess I can say it. You just never know what you can and cannot say with community guidelines. So she says this about, and you remember, we've seen the previews about this. So we were sort of like, well, how did this come up? And what did she mean by this? And apparently, Julia has said this to Alexia. Alexia repeated it to Larsa. Here's the thing, Julia. The fetishization of it all. Okay? It's one thing to be like, you like, but to say you like black, look, especially coming from a white woman, especially as a black man, the fetishization of it all. Andy brings up a good point, though. He says, well, can she not be in love with Martina? Because I believe Julia is bisexual. But that seems to be the narrative that Larsa has been painting about Julia for a while now, that she really wants to be with men. I don't know about that. I think Julia might like it all. And I wouldn't be surprised if Martina allows her to like it all and maybe, you know, every once in a while see one or two up close and personal. Anyways, so that conversation is interesting. Then Alexia says that she really would like to work on her relationship with Dr. Nicole. I'd like to see it too, because I feel like they have such similar backgrounds, like culture-wise. So I would like to see it. And I felt like they were working in that direction, at least in the last season, but they hit a misstep with the whole Anna of it all. So it looks like, here's the thing about Tauruses. You know, we like to talk astrological signs. Taking Alexia and her personality in the years of what we know about Alexia, as a Taurus, we literally see, this is what we see in part two of the reunion or part one, where Alexia goes backstage to try to make amends with Larsa. Tauruses are not combative. We don't like fighting with people. We don't like war. If you take us there, we'll go. Okay, horns locked and loaded. But we don't like confrontation. We don't like fighting. I'm not fighting on a daily. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I mean, as a good housewife, she will do it, but she also wants to make peace. So I see that's what she's trying to do with Dr. Nicole. Dr. Nicole seems to be open, you know, to it. Okay? All right, Larsa says Alexia owes the group an apology for calling them all liars. Honestly, Larsa would just be happy for an apology from Alexia for calling her a liar, even though she is the biggest liar on that stage. She's lying about when you lie about the smallest thing, I know you lying about everything in your life, from your relationship, your booty, all of that. All right? Anyways, Larsa brings up, I'd like to hug Gertie. It looks like she wants to make peace. Is it convenient because it's the end of the reunion? Yeah. Gertie is open to it. They hug it out. Fantastic. The group then shares some good things that are coming around the room about what, you know, Dr. Nicole, who was my MVP at this reunion, points out all the good things that are happening in people's lives. Gertie's cancer-free. Julia is doing her music and, you know, she's going to be adopting. You know, Marisol's got her cockies. You know, everybody's got something happening and they focus on that. And then Andy introduces the partner that Julia did the opera song with to come out and sing a song, and he starts, and I'm thinking, oh, wonderful. I'm thinking they're going to flash back into, you know, some of the beautiful moments like Gertie's cancer journey and where she's been and how far she's come and then all this other stuff. And the announcement of, you know, Dr. Nicole's baby and Adriana performing. I thought they were going to flash back to that. No, we don't get that. What we get is Julia picking up the mic and give me a trigger. They should have been a trigger warning. The whoo, and then it goes into a beat. I'm like, oh God, so she's going to release this as a single now? She was clearly lip syncing for those that thought she was singing live. We've heard her sing live. It's not lovely. He was lovely, but he was also lip syncing as well. Fine, they all are dancing. You see Marisol sort of like, what's happening here? Eventually she gets up and she starts dancing. Look, I am okay with them having a lackluster part three of the reunion because they've had a stellar season. Thank you to all the ladies of the Real Housewives of Miami for sharing their lives with us and being okay with our critiques of it. Maybe they weren't. We don't care. We talk behind their backs, not in front of them or in their comment section. So don't tag them, okay? No tagging. Anyways, guys, how would you rate part three of the Real Housewives of Miami reunion? How would you rate the season overall? Tens across the board. Okay, part three of the reunion, I'm going to give it a 7. But the season overall, I'm going to give it a 10. I'm going to give it a 10. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good season. I thought it was a good season. I thought we had a good time. I appreciate these women sharing their lives, like I said. And I look forward to season 7. Wait a minute, we're not done. Just when we thought we were done, because there was a moment during the reunion where they go around the room asking, you know, do you think this person's a liar? Do you think that person's a liar? So Alexia gets to Marisol. She forgets a lot. Marisol was very upset by that. She was very upset by that. So the reunion, you think is going to end on a happy note, actually ends on Marisol and Alexia arguing. Oh, I guess we're going to see how this all plays out in season 7 of The Real Housewives of Miami. Guys, let's continue this conversation. Replay crew, I want to know your thoughts, your ratings, where you're watching from. Are you coming to my upcoming shows? Where you want the shows to come to? I know Charlotte, North Carolina, you've been asking. Chicago, you've been asking. St. Louis, have you been asking? Detroit, have you been asking? Texas, I know you've been asking. California, I know you've been asking. Stay tuned. But if you live in Boston, Atlanta, Nashville, or Seattle, your tickets are now on sale. Don't wait. Book your tickets. I'll see you on the Kempire After Dark live show coming to a city near you. Stay tuned. All right, y'all. Let's get out of here. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. The Kempire Radio Network can be found on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out the description for more details on the Kempire After Dark live tour. We're coming to Philly this week, Boston soon, Nashville and Atlanta, and Seattle. Again, more information on that, our guests, and more can be found in the description notes.